If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me this morning to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Begin reading with verse 16. I want to continue this series or message that I started a couple weeks ago on transformational thinking. In the book of Ephesians, the Bible said, "Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power." Amen. Glory. Now, if you read that on through, you'll find a couple of places that power is mentioned. And I'm not going to preach this another sermon, but there are five Greek words for the word power. The Greek language doesn't do like we do. It's what makes our language so complicated. We change words by putting adverbs and adjectives and stuff like that in front of the word to change it. You know, I could say the bald guy, and y'all could look around and see a bunch of bald guys. I could say the bald guy with glasses, and you'd count it down to a couple of us. I could say the bald guy writing in a book, and y'all would immediately look at the bald guy that's now red in the face. Glory. And by doing so, by putting descriptive words around, all I said was bald guy, and y'all figured that out. But now church baldness and the word bald come from the Bible. The book of Leviticus said a man who hath no hair on his head is bald. A lot of the terms we use come from Scripture. Of course, it does say one other thing to you other guys with hair need to think about. He is clean before the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Just threw that in. It won't cost you nothing. Amen. But the reality is, I've been talking about getting back to thinking properly. I think one of the biggest problems we got in the church world is stinking thinking. And when we got people, you think the wrong way, something goes wrong, immediately think wrong. Some of you look at a glass half full, and that's all you got is a glass half full. I figure it's half there. And some of you got it half empty, and some of you, it doesn't matter what's happening, you're going to take the wrong side. You know, we got some folks that no matter what happens, they're negative. You know, that's the only connection they got. They're like a battery without a positive hook. They're just constantly negative. It doesn't matter what's going on, they're negative. I mean, it can be raining. It's going to flood. Glory. Hello. Around here, that's not bad thinking, but but the reality is sometimes we got to take the positive side of it because we have a thing called hope and we live by hope. And learning how to live in hope and living in peace and living in power is what I'm trying to talk to you about when we have transformational thinking. It's how to learn how to think differently. Amen. The first sermon I talked about the prodigal son and how that nothing changed in his life. But his mind. But when he changed his thinking, he went back home and became the son again. Amen. I mean, he was still in the hog pen. He still had the flies. He still had all the smell, everything around him. But the Bible said when he came to himself, what did he do? He started thinking different. And when he started thinking different, life changed. And church, that's the key to everything. Amen. You say, preacher, you're crazy. I want you to have your enlightenment. And your understanding enlightened in the dark place. Last week I was talking about the dark place. Every one of us has been in a dark place at some time or another in our life. Hello? If you hadn't, there's one coming. Amen. Come on, church. You're going to find out I'm not one of these. Everybody's going to be wonderful and everybody's going to have no problems. And you know those guys on TV that preach to you about send your money to me and you'll never get sick and you'll never have a problem, you'll never have a trouble. I read my Bible and it said, all these things are going to happen among the brethren. The same things accomplished in the world will happen in the church. That means everything they go through, I'm going to go through. Well, what's the difference? I got somebody with me. I'm not by myself. Amen. And if I'm hanging on to the unchanging hand of Almighty God, I can make it through the storm. I can make it through the trials. I can make it through the tribulation. Could you say amen? Amen. Somebody said, well, preacher, you're not helping me at all. No. When you get in the dark places where you learn about who God really is. Amen. If you'd have asked Job when he got in that dark place, it's a place in that Job said, I looked to the left and you weren't there. I looked to the right and you weren't there. I looked behind me, you're not there. I look in front of me, you're not there. And finally he said, God, where are you? But when he got out of it, he said, you know what? Amen. He was in the beginning. He will be in the end. I know my Redeemer liveth and I know I'm going to stand before him in the latter day. It doesn't matter what happens in this world. God's on the throne. As long as God's on the throne, everything's going to be all right. That's what we learn in the dark place. It's in that dark place we find a God who enlightens us with his glory and his power and his anointing. Could you say amen? Notice what he said. I want you to have the understanding enlightened in the dark place so you'll see the hope of his calling. Amen. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, that I can give you what? An expected end. So we talk about God already knows where he wants to take us. It's just up to us to sell out to what he's doing so he can get us there. Come on, church. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Listen, the last segment of the series, I talked about the dark place. I want to reiterate the dark place is a place of growth and transformation. Amen. You're not in a dark place. Listen to this. You're not in a dark place because you don't have something. You're there because God has decided to take you off the shelf and do something with you. Come on, church. Amen. Every time something goes wrong in your life, it's not the devil. It's not because you've done something wrong. It's because God has put you there to teach you something you can't learn any other way. And he's trying to get you to a place he can pull you out and make something out of you. Come on, church. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Everything I've ever gone through, every trial, every tribulation I ever had has helped make me who I am right now. And let me tell you something, friend, I am proud of what God has done with me. I'm ashamed of some of the things I've done, but I am proud of what God done with this dumb old country boy when he put his hand on me and turned me into who I am. And I wouldn't take anything for everything I've been through, as the old song said. I wouldn't take nothing for my journey. Could you? Glory. You see, church, there's a reality we got to live with. And that's what I'm going to talk to you about next. I remember I was down in, my Lord, Frida. I'd known you had these things wrapped up for Christmas, I'd have got them out. I told her to go by and get me an apple, and she come walking up here, and they got five or six bags around them. Isn't that pretty? We went to Honduras. My wife eats apples a lot of mornings. She'll cut them up and eat them on the way to work while she's texting and all them other things she ain't supposed to be doing. Glory. I carried it to Honduras with me, and we carry apples to give to the kids. And it was amazing. We'd give them a bag of toys. They would eat their apple before they did anything else. Because even though there were apples everywhere, they could not afford them. And the only apples they ever got was the ones on the ground that had rotted or fell off the tree because they were too ripe. And when they got a fresh apple, man, they'd tear it down. There wasn't anything left but the very core. When I say the very core, I'm talking about you could see everything inside the core when they got through with it. They'd take it, throw it on the ground. There wasn't nothing left. Amen. My wife come home, she told some folks, she said, I have to think about the way I eat apples now. Because she had a whole new view about an apple. But isn't that thing pretty? Do you know what's important about this apple to the world of apple trees? There's a tree in this apple. You know, this apple has potential. Just like you have potential. A potential for growth, a potential for reproduction, a potential to be used of God to bear fruit. The Bible said a man who delights in the law of the Lord is going to be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water. It's going to bring forth fruit in its due season. The problem is that you got to get to it, and you got to get to that place where you can get to the seed. Amen. Now, there's several ways to get there. Let me ask you something. I take this right here, and I got this peeling. If I plant this peeling, am I going to get a tree? That peeling is not good for anything, but yep, it's good for that. But it won't grow a tree. You ever notice how many people we have in the church that everything about them is circumficial? They praise circumficially. Everything they do is an outward thing. There's no real inner work with them because the inner being is not really operating like an inner being would be if it was translated by the power of God. You said, preacher, you're crazy. No. We got too many people that haven't listened to Paul when he said he is not a Jew who is one outwardly and whose circumcision is just of the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, whose circumcision becomes of what? Of the heart. What's the heart? The core. Amen. See, you can cut to it. You can eat to it. Or you can leave this apple alone and let it rot. And eventually that core will come out. How many of you knows what happens to an apple that rots till the core comes out? If you let it rot till the core comes out, the seed is rotted also. So therefore, if you just wait for the regular rotting process to take place, you get nothing. But if you cut down to the core, and you get to that core, you find a seed. And if you plant that seed, it begins to reproduce, and a tree comes out of it. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Paul is trying to say, even in a dark place, God is working on the core of who you are to bring you out, to set you upright, to give you a core value system that will help you be productive for God in the way you need to be. And without it, you're never going to make it. Could you say amen to that, church? Amen. I got dinner already up here. Hallelujah. I just wish this thing would quit shutting down. Amen. Transformational thinking means you start to think about where you are and who you are in a different way. You have to see where you are as an incubator. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? God's trying to build something in us, and he's working on us. There was an old song you used to sing, he's still working on me. Amen. Had another one, Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. And if God's working in us, he's going to produce something on the outer work to make us who we are. And we've got to have a core value system that we operate with. Come on, church. Amen. Listen, this past Friday, I made a trip over to Click's house. And got my head shaved. Miss Patty said I need a haircut, that two of them on one side was longer than the two on the other side, so I got them all fixed to be alike. And I came back by and I stopped at this Chevron station. When I tell you this, all y'all be going over buying a drink, but I stopped at the Chevron station, got something to drink, and I gave the girl a $20 bill, and she gave me back my change. And actually, they got them on sale. You buy one, you get one for 79 cents, so I bought two. One for later, like 5 minutes later. No. But she gives me my change, and it was $16 and some change. And I go back to the car, and I start to get in the car. How many of y'all have been around me very much? Have you ever watched how observant I am when I'm walking? I look at my feet where they're headed. I don't walk through there going, blah, 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 falling all over stuff. But I also, if I'm walking down the street and I see a coin, I'm going to pick it up. I don't care if it's a penny, a nickel, dime, quarter. I picked up money that wasn't even American, but it was money on the ground. I seen it. I was coming out of an Alabama basketball game one night, pitch dark, and I leaned over and slid my hand on the ground, come up, and God said, what'd you do? I said, found a $20 bill in the grass. He looked up and he said, leave it to a preacher, find money in the dark. Glory. But I'm walking out to the car, and I'm looking around. There's nothing on the ground. I start to put the money in my billfold, and I realize the young lady's made a mistake. She's given me two fives, a 10, and a 1. One of the fives on the backside of the 10, so she accidentally miscounted it. Instead of giving me 16, she gave me back 21. So I'm thinking, I'm doing pretty good. I got two drinks and a dollar. I turned around, went back in the store, said, ma'am, how much money did you give me? She said, $16 and something. I slid it out where she could see it, and I said, I really think you miscounted. And she saw that extra five, pulled it. She said, thank you. Now, that night, she would have never known who got that $5. She'd have been $5 short in her drawer. Probably would have had made it up out of her own pocket. I go back out to the car, and there's a penny laying by my door. I picked the penny up, put it in my pocket. I was all excited. Saturday, I'm talking to somebody, and I said, hey, this is what happened to me. I had $5 extra to give me. I was man enough to take it back in, give it to the lady, come outside, and found a penny by my car. The guy said, you gave up $5 for a penny? I said, no. I gave up $5 for my integrity, because whether anybody else knew it or not, I knew that I wasn't faithful in what I was doing. And I said, when I got back to the car, that penny was there. No matter how it got there, it wasn't there the first time, but it was there. And written on that penny says, "In God we trust." When I picked the penny up, I said, "God, you knew, even if I didn't know about my integrity." He said, "Preacher, what good is that?" People come to me all the time, "So-and-so said so-and-so." I don't care. Hello? I got some of y'all get mad at me because I don't just blow off gaskets because people talking about me. I got news for you. I am a conversation of almost everybody in this building, some good, some bad. If I took a vote right now, my name would be on every ballot, some to stay, some to leave. And I'm not trying to be mean, but I know who I am, and I know in whom I believe. And because of that, I really don't care what you got to say, because it doesn't affect me one way or the other, because I know the integrity I have with God, and I know God is going to take care of me because I am faithful unto him. Come on, church. You say, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" That is the core that we need to develop if we're going to make it in this world, where it doesn't matter what the devil says. It doesn't matter what the neighbor says. All I know is in him I live and move and have my own. Transformation involves cognitive skills. Somebody said, "What's cognitive skills?" Skills the kids have, where you're teaching them and they're learning. You ever notice kids pick up stuff real quick? That's because they have cognitive skills. It's how you process things that come to you. Hello? It's how we galvanize information we pick up, put in our brain, and use it. Somebody said, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" Cognitive, recognizing, how we recognize things. It's how we ingest. It's how we digest. And it's how we process everything that comes our way. Hello? We need to look at the cognitive skills we have in the spiritual world. We need to understand that where we are is not our destination. But what we're in is not where we're going to end up. We don't make decisions on what's happening today, but we understand that what's going on in my life is simply a mode of transportation to get me to my destination. Hallelujah. Come on, church. That's good thinking. That's tweetable right there, buddy. Amen. And I don't even tweet. Glory. Amen. I squeak, but not tweet. Glory. What are we doing with the information? Do we process it effectively? Are we retaining what we're getting into our minds? Are we learning? Or are we continue going through some of the same stuff because we're not retaining what God's trying to teach us? Amen. I had a guy I went to school with, was 19 years old in the eighth grade. He was worse than rerun on what's happening because he could never retain the knowledge they were giving him. He finally turned 20. They let him out of school. Amen. Somebody said, "Preacher, what are you talking about? Are we retaining what we have? Are we stuck in a mode where God's still trying to teach us stuff that we're not picking up on, and we're not retaining what God's trying to teach us? So instead of graduating, we're still stuck in the seventh grade of spirituality when we ought to be in college somewhere getting a master's degree in theology on the power of God that can move in our life, and we're still stuck in 20 years ago because we have never took what God's trying to teach us and learned anything. We keep complaining about the dark place, and we keep complaining about the problems. But the truth of the matter is, if we learn, we can move on. And God can take us to the next place and over to the next mountain and then the next valley and then the next mountain. And we keep moving till we get where God wants us to be." It's not just layering on truth. You're in the first grade, you learn stuff. Get in the second grade, you learn more stuff. And you layer it on. Those of you in math understand something. If you're taking algebra, you better learn algebra. Because if not, you better not try to take geometry algebra too. Because what you learn in algebra is going to be the base for the next 2 years. And what you learn in algebra 2 and geometry, well, you'll take algebra, geometry, algebra 2, trigonometry, calculus. But if you miss one of those levels, you miss everything and you'll never make it because you're layering on information. You say, "Preacher, what are you getting at?" In the spirit world, you're learning truths. And sometimes you learn truths that move you beyond the truth you learned when you were younger. Wait a minute, preacher. You're crazy. I remember when I was a kid, I studied the laws of gravity. What goes up must come down. That dude sitting on a tree, apple fell, and he wrote the law of gravity. Glory. Hello? That's how it happened. Dude wrote about how the blood circulates in the body. You know how he saw a guy get cut one day and sat there and watched him bleed to death. And he noticed that the blood was shooting out every time his heart beat. That's where he got the theory of how blood flows through your body. Hello? Some of y'all look at me like, you're crazy. Look it up. Say, preacher, what are you getting at? Well, it's not just a layering on a truth. See, there was a time we studied the laws of gravity. What goes up must come down. And then suddenly there were some guys got to studying the laws of aerodynamics. And they realized that everything that goes up does not have to come down till it's ready to. And now we got 747s and 777s flying all over the world because the Wright brothers flew 10 feet and crashed. Hello? But they broke the law of gravity for 10 feet, and they realized we build it right. We can break the laws of gravity, and we can understand how birds fly. We can put it in the option of a plane. Come on, church. Then this other guy got to watching hummingbirds sitting still and figured out how to make helicopters. And now we're just breaking all the laws of gravity because we have a truth that moved us beyond. It didn't change the law of gravity without the proper way. Gravity still works. It doesn't change that. But we have moved beyond that to something else. And we as Christians need to understand there's more to Christianity than the base we found. That is the beginning point. Remember what I said? That's not your destination. When you got saved, you didn't graduate. You got in the next class and you're moving up. And unless you're still moving, you're backing up because God has so much more for you than you could ever think of. If you could just get that core turned around and get the instincts of God moving in your life. Listen, I wonder if you're still living on lower laws. You ever notice people, they argue with you about stuff that's simple? Had a guy read a book one time. He gave it to me. He said, you need to read this book. It's a great book for a new Christian. It wasn't worth nothing. Somebody had been living a while because it was all stuff we already knew, moved on from. Hello? And I'll never forget the reviews came back. We were in a class, and the reviews came back, waste of my time, should have never read it. It's a great book for somebody just got saved, but, man, after 10, 12 years of living right, we didn't need that book. Now, did the laws change? No, but we had moved on. We had learned truths that took us past where that book could take us. And church, some of you are living in lower laws because you've never graduated. Listen, 1 Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. We got people in here that are so scared of the devil, you're afraid he's going to jump on you because you ain't learned he can't. Somebody tells you, oh, the devil won't get on them, it's living right. I've never read that in the Bible. Well, if you're really living right, he's going to be after you. I've never read that. What I read was he's seeking those whom he may devour. He's looking for those that are playing church, those that are sticking at the lower level, those that aren't growing in God, because I understand greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I understand the angels of the Lord encamp around about me. I understand that if I resist the devil, amen, the Bible said he will flee from me. And it's time some of us made up our mind, I need a greater law in my life. I need to quit thinking like a child and get to being men and women in Christ that move in his power. Colossians 2:20. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as through living in the world, are you subject to the ordinances? What are you talking about, preacher? Well, I got a sin every day. I can't keep from it. I wish somebody would get this book right here and show me that in black and white. Because we like that. Because you know why? We don't have to dig. We don't have to do anything different. We got an excuse to keep living the way we were living before we got right. Well, you give me scripture the other way. Not a problem. Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free of the laws of sin and death. What are you talking about? When I get so far in God, I can move to the place. I'm not perfect, but I don't have to get up every morning with the ideology I've got to sin today. I can live without sin dominating my body. And that's what the Bible said I'm supposed to do. Let not sin reign in your mortal body. And if we'll move on and layer the right truth in, we can get up in the morning with a made up mind. This is a day that the Lord hath made. Glory. Y'all still with me? Do you still love me? I'm trying to ask you, can you teach an old dog new tricks? Huh? I know some of y'all, y'all done learned so much, you ain't never gonna learn nothing else. Y'all like my English, don't you? I learned it in college. It helped me a bunch. Learned me how to talk and put all these words together. Preacher, you're crazy. Might be, but I'm living for God. Listen, Jesus goes to take the Passover. Y'all ever read that in the Bible? He takes the disciples in. They're celebrating Passover. What is that? A celebration that something happened in Egypt when they put the blood on the doorpost and the death angel went by. And it's a celebration of the past. But in the book of Matthew and Mark and 1 Corinthians, things change. The Bible said he took the bread, and that was the way they would do it. They'd break it, and they would partake of the bread. And Jesus said, this is my body, which is broken for you. And he took the cup, the wine, the fruit of the vine, and said, this is my blood, a new covenant. Some of y'all missing this. You ought to be shouting right now. Because see, he says from now on, we're not going to celebrate the old. We're going to start celebrating the new. Because you see, that Passover lamb was just a foreshadowing of who I am. My body's going to be broken. My blood's going to be shed. And whosoever believeth in that blood's going to have everlasting life. And you do this in remembrance of me. Not just what happened in Egypt, but remember the cross. And remember the crucifixion. And remember what's going to happen when I give my life for the world. Remember the salvation that's going to be bright. And all of a sudden he takes the truth and makes it a new truth with greater meaning. Instead of celebrating the past, they start looking to the future. I'm saying that some of you are building your lives on who you used to be. The person you're trying to be is not the truth God has for you. If I tried to be who I was when I got saved, most of you would not ever come back to church. I might not even show up, because I'll be honest with you, church, there wasn't nobody in this world hated me more than I did. Hello? I know some of y'all in love with yourself. I am since I got saved. I have a fan club. I am president, vice president, and chairman of the board. The Ken Stroop fan club. That's why I know I'm destructible and don't do stupid stuff I used to do when I was a kid and didn't care. Come on, church, smile. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. The other day I was in Northport. It's been several months back, and I went up to a place up there. We used to jump off the bridge. I looked off that bridge, and I thought, what idiot would jump off this bridge? I used to do it all the time. 80, 90 feet to the water. We get up there and play follow the leader. We get up there and everybody jump and somebody do something. Everybody had to do it. The last one to do something nobody would do. One. We'd do flips and all this kind of stuff. And I knew the guy did a preacher seat off that thing. He hit, sound like a gun went off. This guy looked at me and I said, he won. He said, you ain't going to do it. I said, I'm not even going to tempt it. Glory. Went down the hill to the tree. There was a rope tied in the tree. People swing on that rope. You know who tied that rope in that tree? Me. I crawled up there, tied the rope in, and jumped out the tree. And I'm not looking at the tree going, what idiot would have done something like that? Now, what the guy said, somewhere in Buell, there's a village idiot missing. Glory. Some of y'all won't admit that. What happened? I quit trying to be who I was and became who God wanted me to be. And I began to realize I can't be that person anymore. I can't act that way anymore. I can't take those ideas on anymore. I'm a God man, and I've got to sell out to God. I've got to live the way God wants me to live. I've got to do what God wants me to do. That's why I go to bed at night with one earphone on, listening to the Word of God. That's why if you get in my car and ride down the road, you're liable to hear the Word of God as much as anything else, because I love to get into the Word, because I understand it's in it that I find the God and the power and the grace, the glory and the knowledge that I need to be an overcomer. Do you have the cognitive skills to walk in the light of the present as you're trying to deal with your old truths? In other words, can you let go of things you've been hanging on to, talking, well, I ain't never done it that way, and let God start doing a new thing? And realize the reason you might not have done anything is because you've never done it that way. I'm not talking about doing something against the Bible. But there are some things that ain't got nothing to do with Bible. It's just traditions you've been hanging on to all your life that you might need to let go of, because God's trying to move you on. I remember things I used to preach when I was a young preacher. I would never preach them now because there's no Bible for them, but I thought there was. Hallelujah. I said, preacher, what are you getting at? 1 John 1, verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses of our sins. What's he talking about? Getting enlightened. Getting our thinking lit up by God. Amen. You know, when they're making a movie, they're constantly changing scripts. And the people playing the parts, if they don't get a daily, as they call it, they're liable to go into a scene and say the wrong words. Y'all remember the little fellow that came up here, Grayson Russell, little redheaded kid, was in the movie Talladega Nights. Well, he knew his script. Problem was, on Sunday, he got saved. Up until Sunday, he was going to say what they wanted him to say. But after he got saved, he goes to the guy in charge and says, sir, I can't say those words no more. I got saved. He said, son, you've got to say them. They're in the script. He said, can we not change the script? You've done it in a lot of other places. He said, well, you don't understand. You're under contract. He said, I'm 9 years old. I'm too young to be under contract. They've already shot like three-fourths of the movie, so they can't take him out. So he said, okay, you can't cuss. What can you do? A 9-year-old comes up with a tagline that he is popular for from the movie he was in. And he says it rather than cuss. His little brother cussed all during the show, but that little boy never cussed while that show was on, because he sold out to God and wouldn't do it. And they couldn't take the part away from him. They left him with it. You say, preacher, you're crazy. No. We need dailies so we keep up with what God's doing in our life daily, not trying to live like we did 20 years ago. Well, preacher, you know our scripture that give us, Lord, our daily bread. Give us a daily word, God, that'll help change us a little closer to you. Come on, church. You know I'm not going to tell you something I came back up. Amen. Transformational thinking is changing the way you think about something. Therefore, if anybody be in Christ Jesus, old things pass away. Old thinking, old theology, and all things become new. How many of you this morning are ready to get to the core and plant the seed in your heart God wants you to have, to become who God wants you to be? See, I believe there are people under the sound of my voice this morning that God's got some great expectations for you. But you've got to get by that river and get your feet planted. And you've got to sell out to what God wants in your life. And you've got to become that tree that's bearing fruit for the kingdom. And when you do, God will begin. I got saved in 1974. Someone corrected me the other day and said, I'm not some dumb old country boy. You didn't know me in 1974. As far as this book was concerned, I was one of the most ignorant people in the world. I owned a Bible. I still have that Bible. It was given to me by Gideon when I was in the third grade. You know, it's a shame, but they can't give Bibles out of schools anymore. And that's the same, because some kids are actually growing up and never had a Bible in their hand. A lot of good it did me. I never read it. I just had it. I guess I thought that just having it around would take care of me. I bounced in and out of churches and joined churches. I've been dipped, anointed, sprinkled. I'd done it all. But I never changed the core value of who I was. My instincts, the way I operated, was still the same. Because I kept going back to who I was. Do you realize unless you change your core value system, you'll never change you? And I kept trying to be somebody. And the tug of war that went on inside of me was totally destroying me. I got enough sense to know that I'm not on an even keel without God. I was a drug addict alcoholic. I didn't get that way because I really knew how to operate. I got that way because I was uneven and out of balance, and I needed something to try to get me in balance. But it wasn't until I found God and began to change my core value system and begin to transform the way I thought that my life began to balance out. And in the early part of my life as a Christian, I kept asking God, what do you want with me? And I began to preach, and some of those sermons I have to apologize to congregations for because they were bad. Worse than what I do now. But I kept digging. I read an entire set of books that I bought called Biblical Illustrators. I can't tell you nothing I read, but I read that whole 30-something volumes of commentary. Every sermon in them, every thought in them. I fried my brain for nothing because I can't remember none of it. But I was trying to learn, trying to get ahead. Because I realized God's got something for me. And the only person who can get me ready for what God wants to do in my life is me. And I kept people saying, you need to be a pastor. I think God wants me to be an evangelist. I spent 35 years as an evangelist. Loved every minute of it. But I realize now, God was preparing me to be who I am now. It was a vehicle to get me where he wanted me because I couldn't get there any other way. I've preached in places that a boy from Buell should have never gone, much less preach. Because I got a God that said, you need to go here, you're going to learn something. You need to go here, you're going to learn something. You need to go here, you're going to learn something. And every stop, God put something in me and in my core value to make me who I am. But it took me making up my mind, I've got to change the process in me if I'm going to change the process of my life. Stand with me all over the house. I believe with all my heart that God's got people in this building that he's trying to change the core value of who you are. Because if he can change enough of us, he changes the core value of this church. And when this church becomes what God wants it to be, we already got the river and we're planted right beside it. We're going to start producing fruit. Somebody said, well, preacher, Our time is past. Your time is past. Mine's in my future. I'm not celebrating the old Passover. I'm in the new covenant. And I've got a God that's promised me that when he comes back, he's coming for a church that is on fire and moving in his glory and in his power. And I want to be a part of that church. Hallelujah. But there's some people under the sound of my voice this morning while I've been preaching. I've been talking to you. Some of you are in a dark place and you don't understand why. But Paul said, I want you, while you're in that dark place, to have your understanding enlightened by God moving in you with his presence. Father, I thank you today for your love, for your mercy, for your power. Lord, could you take us beyond the veil into your presence and just begin to cut away the outer edges and let your glory flow in us. God, send a move of your spirit that'll shake the core of who we are. Father, in Jesus' name.